This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's talk with Laura Bono. She's a co-founder of the National Autism Association. She joins us on the line from her home in North Carolina. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm great, Coy.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Are
all your listeners, too.
Are y'all all ready for Christmas? The tree is up. Everything's ready. All the packages are bought?
Tree is up, but not all packages have been purchased.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it.
That sounds like my house.
Yes.
Allison looked at me today. She said, you know, I still have a list. I'm still working a list. I said, okay, yeah. We'll make sure that you get that list done.
Yeah, I'm definitely working on it.
Hey, Laura, let's just remind folks, I know you've been on this program a number of times before, but remind folks again a little bit about your story and how you got involved with autism and with the National Autism Association.
Well, my son Jackson regressed into autism around 16 to 17 months old, and coincidentally it was right after his 16-month vaccinations, and we immediately thought that it was the vaccine since it was just immediately after and he was reaching all of his developmental milestones and then regressed quite quickly into autism, and we were always looking for some sort of vaccine connection. His immune system was a mess, and we just have tried over the years, and everything to do with the immune system, Jackson would get better, so we knew that there was a connection. And then in 1999, when we found out about the mercury in the vaccines, and then subsequently the Safe Minds parents FOIA documents from CDC showing that there was a mercury link to the autism epidemic, I started chelating my son, and he's getting better. How I got involved with autism is just my son was diagnosed with autism, and my husband and I just vowed we were going to do everything we could to not only help him, but all the other children.
Laura, there's a lot of folks out there who might not be familiar with the word chelation.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And then chelation is when you medically give an FDA-approved drug. Usually it's EDTA is one of the ones, and DMPS or DMSA, and they're agents that go into the body, and you can give them by IV or take them by mouth or even as suppositories to go in and sequester the mercury and pull it from the body when the body can't get rid of the mercury itself. And so in 99, when we found out about the mercury connection, we began chelating Jackson, and he started getting better. But how NAA came about, the National Autism Association, is we just felt like there was a group that seemed to be missing from the autism community that would do advocacy, help children with the services, help families. So we felt like that research, treatment, support tended to be missing. And so we started the National Autism Association. It was Scott and I and several other parents. And since then, we have worked on Capitol Hill against legislation like the Homeland Security Bill provisions that were slipped in so that you could not sue a pharmaceutical company for mercury poisoning and for autism. We've worked for the Combating Autism Bill. NAA just this past year has given over $30,000 to families who want to help their children biomedically but can't due to their financial situation, and so we've given that money. So far we've given over $100,000 to other scientists to work on any sort of research that will help our children and with treatments. And we have an all-access program. We know that the computer is one way that many parents can feel connected to other parents, get advice, get all sorts of different ideas for supplements for their children. So that can open up so many doors for families in need. So we've given almost 20, I think it's 17 computers this year, along with internet access to families who do not have a computer. So then this next year we're going to be announcing a family first services because Coy, as you know, and I'm sure you've reported, about 90% of parents of autistic children end up in divorce because it's just so stressful, both monetarily and emotionally. And so we're going to be having a program where we're helping with services for families in need that need marital support.
Laura Bona.
Anyway, we've been busy.
Yeah, absolutely, and doing a lot of work that families like ours really appreciate. You've just helped and touched so many lives. Laura Bona is our guest of the National Autism Association. Before we get into the nuts and bolts and the specifics of the breaking news this week in Washington, tell us a little bit about your experience over the years lobbying legislators in Washington. What has been, because I know that when I've been up there and I've looked in the faces of these senators and congressmen, so many of them look at you like, I've never heard this. They're just eyes. I'll never forget Senator Cornyn from Texas. His eyes got so big and round. He said, I never knew any of this, that there was these studies, the congressional studies even. He just wasn't familiar with it.
Right. And I think you're absolutely right. That's how we started. And then just over time, the more parents like you that talk to these individual congressmen and senators and their staff, the more that they are just becoming so very aware of it. The same thing with NIH. We used to get, you know, patted on the head and said, you know, go along and leave the science to us. And the parents really had to take over. And very similar to how the AIDS community felt like they had to advocate to get the drugs that they needed and the support that they needed, the autism community has done the same. And we felt like we were just, we wanted to take autism, and I think we've succeeded from a genetic, hopeless, lifelong disease, which it was believed to be up until several years ago, until now it is being recognized. It is triggered by the environment, which means, therefore, it's preventable, it's treatable. You go from hopeless to hopeful. So the old paradigm has been shattered, and a new paradigm has emerged for autism, and I'm so proud, and that just means so much hope to so many kids.
Laura Bona is our guest of the National Autism Association. Speaking of shattering that paradigm, let's talk about what happened in Washington this week, and preface that, if you can, by telling us a little history of this bill that was signed.
Okay, well, first the bill was put into the House in May of 2005, so this has been a long process. It's been a year and a half. And when we first saw it, meaning some of the autism groups, we were quite upset because we felt like it just did nothing for the kids. I mean, it was kind of the, you know, let's give more money to the CDC to count the children, and nothing for any sort of treatments, outlining what treatments needed to be done, what evidence-based medicine really means for autism. It didn't give any money to NIH, incredibly no money for research. It was just really a shell of a bill. And so we were actually told when we started complaining about it that, well, if you don't like it, write one yourself. Well, they didn't know the parents of autistic children. So we were like, okay. So we took several bills that had been written in the past, cancer bills. There was one on hearing impaired, the Ryan White AIDS legislation. We studied them, and using the bill that I mentioned a second ago, the autism bill that was a shell, we filled it in and came up with a bill that all of the autism community could support. And that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of organizations that have different niches within the autism community, some believing it's purely genetic, some believing it's all vaccines, some believing a little bit of both. But we all came together for the children, and the bill was great, and we presented it to the Senate last November. It was the consensus bill, and they worked on it, they meaning Senator Enzi, Senator Santorum, Senator Dodd, and Senator Kennedy and their staff, and they worked on it for several months and came out with a very close to what we had given them, just basically legislatively. They had to change it in certain ways, but they introduced the Combating Autism Bill as we knew it in April, and then it managed to pass with unanimous consent in the Senate, and went on to the house, where that's where we hit the roadblock. And I shared with your listeners the last time we talked of that Congressman Barton was not moving it out of the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House. And but we managed to convince Congressman Barton, with all of the parents calling and you know, and other congressmen and other senators certainly knowing that we are in the midst of an epidemic and we need help. And we managed to get the bill moved out of committee. And once it moved from the committee, it passed by unanimous consent also on the House floor and went on to the president, and he signed it on Tuesday.
Signed it just this week?
Yes, just this week.
And before we get into the specifics of it, I know for a fact that there's people listening right now who actually called to help move this legislation along.
I have no doubt.
And I want to thank anyone out there who had anything to do with moving this forward from the bottom of my heart. And Allison, and I know Laura, you and Scott are deeply appreciative of any parent or grandparent or brother, sister, aunt, uncle out there who said this bill needs to happen.
Yes. And it gives critical research. It outlines treatments that are needed for children. And more importantly, it gives the autism community a critical piece of oversight. Now the Interagency Autism Coordinating Committee at NIH will have more parent participation, more parent members. They have to provide a strategic plan to Congress every single year and report on what they've done, how far they've come along with the plan, what goals they got to that year, what goals they missed, and this will be every single year. And it just, that critical oversight piece of not just handing NIH a lot of money and then not knowing where the money goes. They actually have to have a matrix plan, which provides all the different goals of autism from treatments to, different, you know, cellular research, and then it provides, all the objectives for that, and it has to go to Congress every single year.
Amazing that we actually might have some accountability in Congress.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I can't believe that.
and I think the NIH people are excited about it too. They like that that there's going to be more money. Anytime that you have any sort of disease like this that possibly you know is being triggered, it is. At epidemic proportions, and you only have so much money to spend, it's quite frustrating. So they're happy that they're going to get more money, and I think they're excited about it. And so I think it's a wonderful new partnership is being forged with the autism community and the researchers, which will only end up helping our children.
Laura Bono is a co-founder of the National Autism Association. Big news out of Washington this week that President Bush has signed, finally passed out of Congress, and has finally signed the Combating Autism Act. And this is very, for the folks, Laura, who aren't really touched by autism and not really familiar with this community of very active parents, I just want to underscore the fact that this is extremely historic legislation.
Oh, yes. The only other disease-specific legislation has been the AIDS Ryan White bill. So it really underscores just how important this is. And as important as breast cancer is, and I believe that bill should also be passed, it was not passed. And so it just shows that there are a lot of parents out there that are calling. They're giving their personal stories. They're talking to the congressman. The congressman many times themselves know of someone who has an autistic child or has a child themselves. It has become where if you don't know a child with autism, you will. It has become that prevalent. And so, yes, it is quite historic that this bill, you know, that any bill really makes it through Congress, and the fact that this one did, a disease-specific bill, is just truly historic.
Now, Laura, educate us about how the process works from here, because the way it works is the money for all of this stuff is not actually built into the law. Now it has to go to appropriations.
Right. The bill makes basically directives of you should do research into these areas. And they did specifically say, you know, environmental factors, including vaccines and preservatives, which is what we were pushing as well. It's the science that everyone's afraid to do. And so it's specifically directives to NIH to do that type of thing, and it gives the amount, or it directs the amount of money. But then you have to go to appropriations, and that's where, again, the autism community comes in to advocate to get the money that we need. The appropriations committee looks at those directives and maybe says, okay, well, it's asking for $600 million, but all we can afford is $300 million. And we have to make sure that they understand that every bit of the money that they're giving for autism is desperately needed, and that children are succumbing to autism every single day. And you know, there are treatments available, but so many children, for so many, it's a lifelong diagnosis, and it possibly could be prevented. And so certainly there needs to be the urgency to get this money, and hopefully we can get appropriations to actually give us the money. And as they say to us, they know it's important, but they also know that the war is taking a lot of money, and of course we want to support the soldiers too. So, you know, there's just
a lot of money
right now. Hopefully there'll be enough money to go around.
Let's remind folks, a lot of money for the war is what, $3 to $5 billion a week.
A week. It's five. That's what the Appropriations Committee told us several weeks ago when we were there. The Senate Appropriations Committee said that the war is costing $5 billion a week.
And I don't know how many, 70-something kids have already died again this month in the war, in Iraq. Laura Bona is our guest, co-founder of the National Autism Association. What's been the reaction of folks touching base with you about this news?
About the president?
Yes, signing? About the signing.
Yeah. They're elated. Everyone's very happy.
And what can folks do if they're listening and they still want to help? What can they do to perhaps make sure that this act is funded at a time when, you know, it's going to be rough in Washington with $5 billion a week to wage this war in Iraq? It's going to be rough to get money for anything else.
You're right. Well, you can call right now. We can call the Senate Appropriations Committee, I'm blanking out at 3121-203-225-224-202. This is it, Coy. 202-224-3121. That's the Senate switchboard. And I usually know that right off the tip of my tongue, but it took me a second to grab it in my head.
224-3121.
Yes, 202-224-3121 is the Senate switchboard. You can ask for Appropriations Committee, either the House or the Senate or both, and you can tell them that you're calling on behalf of autism, the Combating Autism Bill, and you are respectfully requesting that they fund it in complete, in 100%.
Which is how much, $600 million?
It's, the total bill is $945 million.
Okay.
It's almost $1 billion. Over 600, about 650 actually go to NIH. There is $15 million a year going to CDC to do a lot of the work in the states, surveillance work, to actually find out how many children are out there, you know, what's happening in the schools, what can they do to, you know, with the numbers, how fast are they growing? And then there is money that is actually going to HHS for some services, but we are going to be working on a services bill this next year as well that will be specifically outlining different treatments and services and giving money for that. It will be in a separate bill.
Well, that's good. That time has certainly come, because this all these special needs children in the public schools is really crippling the schools. The schools are having to foot the bill for all of this stuff.
That's correct.
And they're cutting back left and right because they can't afford it.
Right, because Congress has never fully funded the IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Act. And so because there's more and more autistic kids, and they are the most expensive kids in the schools, because they do need so much care and so many teachers, that the schools are having to pay the bill, and our local communities through Medicaid that these children get, some services like that. The states have, are funding the bill, and so we do need a special directive bill from Congress for autism services. So, Bryden, we've already started working on it, actually. We've met with several senators, and they are open to that. And so now, beginning January, after Christmas, we're going to start writing an autism services bill.
Laura Bono is co-founder of the National Autism Association. Laura, let's talk early next year if we can, and
yes.
You and Scott and the kids have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year.
Thank you, and the same to you and all your listeners.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
This
Bye-bye.
Interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.